The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Hey, Uncle Sam, put your name at the top of his list. And the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist. And an eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here. When you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole wide world is raining down.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Conservative Voice here on WWDB 860 AM. I'm Don Beischel Jr. here along with my good friend and co-host, Joanne Cipressi. We have a great show today. First off, we're going to have a man who entered politics for no other reason than to serve all the people of Pennsylvania, not just the ones who agree with him. A man who has been fighting King Thomas Wolfe the First since the first day of this stupid lockdown to protect our individual rights and freedoms. A man I hope and pray with God's guidance decides to enter the arena of the people, by the people, and for the people, and with his lovely wife Rebby by his side, decides to run for governor. A man who does not hide in his parents' basement like a certain Montgomery County commissioner, and instead numerous times has placed his life on the line for his country, State Senator Douglas Mastriano. Also joining us are the founders of the American Real Voice Political Action Committee, a committee that is focused on promoting conservative values and principles in the city of Philadelphia and beyond. They are Aaron Bashir, Rana Rouge, and Jackson Messiah. Welcome, everyone. And let's go right to a fellow patriot, Senator Mastriano. Senator, welcome back. And let's go right to what I know what you want to talk about is you had a phone call from a certain president of ours.
Yes. Thanks for having me on. I hope you and Joanne are well. Is Stan in their studio too? Or
what's
not,
that?
Not yet. He's not here yet.
Aaron's not here yet. Right. No, they're supposed Stan. To be, but you know, hopefully they'll be here shortly.
That's great. Thanks, I love you guys. What a nice intro. So I was surprised and happy to get a good call from 45, you know, our beloved president, Tuesday morning. He's doing well. He was asking for an update on election reform. I do provide him an update every couple weeks or so. Usually I send it to him digitally. And so we were talking through some of the things that we're working on, wanted to know the way ahead. And as the leader of the party, he wants to know what he can do to help us advance legislation to ensure safe and secure elections.
Yeah, it's great that he is keeping in contact with you and is very interested in solving this election issue. So,
yep. And so he was encouraged by Georgia and Arizona, and of course, since Arizona is advancing and Georgia especially advancing legislation for voter ID, guess what? All those Republicans now are bigots and racists. You know, that's how it goes. You got to show an ID, you know, to buy cough medicine, buy cigarettes, buy booze. But God forbid you show an ID to vote. That's racist. It's like, come on, stop. So I'm asking just as a heads up here. So that means next week. Therefore, in the next week or two, the next hit on Mastriano will be creating some kind of fabrication. Because I'm a conservative, I must be tied in with these radical groups. And therefore, he's a bigot and racist. And I'm going to tell these lunatics on the left and they're cheerleaders in the media, just knock the crap off. I had at least 8 deep background investigations to keep my top secret special compartmented information access. I helped with black programs on several continents. I had top secret entrusted with some of the most sensitive secrets in the nation capacity. Additionally, if there was any ties to any extremist groups, left or right, I would never had that access. So I'm just going to ask them to stop weaving tales of fiction, and it would be nice if they actually started looking at the follies and the incompetence of their governor, of their failed secretary of health, of their failed secretary of state. But they won't do that because they have an agenda. Instead of being journalists, they're advocates for a party. And so when you see the latest hit piece, it's going to weave together all kinds of ridiculous nonsense, fabrications, lies, and deceit. Just remember, they lie, cheat, and steal for a living. They're just like their party. And you know, and this is not hyperbole. I'm speaking, you know, as a Mr. Smith goes to D.C. kind of guy. Mr. Smith goes to Harrisburg. I'm only about 2 years into this whole thing here, And I'm disgusted by the perpetuation of lies that these journalists, some of them have been doing this for 30 years, quotation mark journalists, and they think it's okay to disparage somebody without any firm basis to do it other than they hate my politics. And they are the intolerant bigots. And I'm asking people to disengage, to not buy those papers, to not support those outlets if they're going to attack conservatives just because we're conservatives. Look, I'm a sinner like everyone else here. I struggle with stuff, and I'm saved by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. But to accuse me of these massive betrayals to the country that I served for 30 years in uniform, overseas for 12 years, it's absolutely ridiculous and insulting. And that's insulting not only on me, but every person who loves our country.
Oh, and one of the things that troubles me, I mean, we've almost come to expect this kind of slander, and that's what I want to call it, because that's what it is, from the left. But when you have people in your own party questioning your patriotism, your willingness to serve the people, and by people within the party who have nothing but their own best interests at heart by attacking you, a person who hasn't even declared that he's running for governor yet. So
is that person really a Republican when he copies and pastes, cut and paste comments from Democrats and from left-wing radical Democrat journalists? And that he does this means that he disparages and disregards veterans. My entire life was serving the country. So this young man who never wore the uniform here hates veterans. Veterans, I hope you have a brain on your head here when you hear this kind of stuff from this guy who's done nothing for his country. That you think twice. And I'm not answering now, you know, from people that believe out of this guy's mouth here. Because if you're dumb enough to believe his little cute memes and all that there, then I can't with you. And I got to tell you, I'm really disappointed in these pharisaical Republicans that, you know, fire them all. I'll never vote for anyone who did such and such. It's just great. Let's have a Democrat Senate and let's take away the last frontline of freedom that you have in the entire state. Facts are stubborn things. You know, all my life has been serving this country. And you didn't know about my service. That's fine. But what I've done the past year, mostly oftentimes standing alone against this overreach by our governor and drawing flak and fire and not wavering, standing with our president. I'm the only guy he's calling, you know, in the General Assembly, you know, for advice, direction, and updates. 30-some calls later, several visits with him. If Donald Trump trusts me that much, I don't know how in the heck you guys out there don't. If you're going to believe this young guy who doesn't even, you know, pay property taxes here, I just, you know what? I really don't need your vote then. I'm better off not having it.
I had this conversation with somebody Wednesday night, and I said, you know, for somebody that has a job that pays him $90,000 a year since the year 2015, I wonder why he's still living in his mom's basement. This is what I got to know. This guy pretends that he's Mr. Conservative. He has yet to run a campaign against a Democrat. He only attacks fellow Republicans. He tried to tell the Montgomery County Commission, the party, that unless his brother was his running mate, and then he got up on stage with another fellow veteran and conservative, Fred Connor, and basically said, I'm not running with that guy, you know, and he basically attacked a fellow 30-year Marine veteran and conservative just so he could be elected. So this man has no honor and no integrity, and if you listen to his what I call bull, then you're not paying attention to the man that has been fighting for Pennsylvania for the last according to Governor Wolf, 14 days to flatten the curve. I think we're in day 400 now. But you have been the only one that has been consistently fighting for the freedoms of the people of Pennsylvania.
You know, it was really disheartening coming out of, you know, what happened November 3rd in my election hearings, and then hearing some of the people, just some of the very few that were fighting with me, you know, turn on President Trump as well, you know, in December. I don't see any evidence of fraud. I'm like, did you listen to the hearing?
Are you blind?
And these are the so-called steadfast, stalwart Republicans. And so, you know, Donald Trump did say, you know, that, you know, he's starting to see really who his friends are. And he's keeping those of us that have proven faithful and true up close to his side. That's why he's calling me and not this young buckaroo who thinks that he's something that he's not.
Yeah, Senator Mastriano, thank you so much for joining us again. And it's amazing your life path. You were out in the field for 30 plus years fighting for us, in a different way than you're fighting for us now. This is a different type of battle for you, and I'm sure you didn't expect to have this kind of battle that you're experiencing now. And when you became the senator, there's so many things happening in Pennsylvania and all throughout our country right now. It's like we're battling so many different layers of life right now. And, I thank you so much for standing up for so many of those different things that we're being attacked, for. So, I totally respect and, am grateful that you are, fighting so hard for us.
Thank you. And that means a lot to me because, I tend to see a lot of the negatives, people want to send me these ridiculous memes. Now, we're at a stage in our country where we're actually, in the midst of losing our basic freedoms here. And if there hasn't been any other time for every single Republican to put aside their little axes and ambitions, it's been a past year. And so now, Ronald Reagan had an 11th commandment, thou shalt not speak ill of another Republican. It's one thing in a race. There's no race going on right now. I'm not in any. So, for this person who must secretly be a Democrat to spend so much time and effort to attack and destroy the reputation of one of the few Republicans that's been standing against the tyranny of Tom Wolf and one of the few Republicans that's been consistent and faithful and true, that who's also, a personal a confidant of 45 and a veteran of 30 some years, that he would do that speaks volumes. And it's very disappointing that, he's using fair words and good speeches to manipulate your minds. Republicans, we're the thinking party. I'd ask you to stop and think. In military intelligence, when I was working with my top secret clearance, I'd get reports and odd things from all sources. And one of the things guided me, I had about an 80% predictability rate, so pretty good assessments of thing I had. But I'd have to look at these sources, and I'd consider the source to see if it was viable. The source you're listening to is an F6 source. That's as low as you can get. A1 is best.
Well, we should create a new one, make an F7. We could go one step below. Yeah. I do have one question, but there's someone here that wants to say hello to you, a friend and a supporter. He just walked in. Aaron Bashir is here. So, Aaron.
Thank you so much, Don, and Senator, you're always, an inspiration for all of us, and thank you so much for your military service, and thank you so much for standing for our freedoms. It is such a great honor, to call you my friend, and just wanted to tell you that we are not buying all those lies and deception that's, being put out there, bring you down. So we are here to support you because we know you are a genuine person. You stood your grounds even when a lot of people left the president, and you always defended our freedoms, and I just wanted to thank you on behalf of myself, my team, and all the great like-minded people and supporting constituents who I represent. Thank you so much for service that you've been providing to all of us. Thank you, Senator.
Aaron, you personify the American dream. You came out of a country where you were persecuted for your faith, and so William Penn could appreciate that, the founder of our state here. And instead of standing aside, you saw our freedoms under attack. You spoke truth to power. You're standing, on the shoulders of William Penn. And so I'm thankful for you for stepping out. And I do know God has good plans for you. Don't know what they are specifically. He's going to have to reveal that to you. But you're a model American. You're a beautiful person. So thank you, brother, for your greetings.
Thank you. So my question is a simple one. Should the Lord guide you and Rebbe into this mission of becoming governor of Pennsylvania, would a certain 45th president be offering his support?
He did ask Rebbe and I where we were on our decision on that. So, and then I gave him an update on, I said, look, Mr. President, there's going to be a ton of people running. And I said, I think there's about four that you know personally. And I listed myself and the other three that he knows personally. And I spoke about the recent poll that was taken by the Susquehanna Group up in northeastern PA. And I said, just so you know, if I do a similar poll, I'll be coming out with 70-80%, you know, ratings for myself.
Right.
So he's encouraged, and he's waiting to hear what Rebbe and I decided.
Right. Well, just so you know, there's many of us that are waiting to hear what you and Rebbe decide. But I know, and I tell people this all the time, unlike other politicians that use the Lord as a talking point, for you and Rebbe, your faith is what guides you guys in making these life decisions. So I tell people you need to be heartened and encouraged by the fact that when they say that they are praying for the Lord for guidance on this, it is a truthful statement and not just some political hyperbole.
Yeah, every morning as part of our devotions, we're asking God to direct us. Because you're right, Don. Because, you know, almost every politician, after a prayerful consideration and deliberation with my family, no, stop. You didn't pray. That's bull crap. That just sounds like a nice little phrase that some speechwriter gave you.
Yeah, right.
Yes, we are praying. You know, and that's one thing. Somebody commented to me, goes, hey, you know, I looked at the list, and there's some decent guys that may run. But the thing that stands out at me, this one person from out in your area, he said, you're the only person that's being called by the people to run. All these other guys have ambitions to run. I was like, wow. I didn't even put that together. It's like it's a different thing to be, you know, called by God and the people as opposed to, you know, I think I'll senator or governor. What should I, you know, that?
Yeah, let's flip a coin.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like as easy as changing your pants. I'm like, no, this is a huge life-changing decision. I wish it was that easy.
and I think people don't realize when any politician makes a decision to run. I mean, Aaron and I have had this discussion when he was running. You know. It not only is it hard work for the actual politician, but the family as well. The family is invested in what's going on. I mean, I know Rebbe's by your side at just about everything you go to, you know, and so consequently, I'm sure some of those honey-do list things don't get done around the house.
You know it well.
Yes, yes. So, I mean, it's more than a job for people like yourself, for Aaron, and some of the other candidates that we work with. For you guys, it is about the people that you're looking to represent.
Yes. Well, thanks again for having me on. I'm wishing everyone a great Easter. Remember, the reason for the season is for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life.
Amen.
That's the Easter message. I wish everybody a great time.
Yes. Yes, you and Rebbe, you know, all my best to both of you guys. And just so we know, well, I just want to let everybody know, I got the official word last night from Kelly that you will be attending our event on May 8th. Kelly,
yay,
I know. So nobody really, this is the first announcement I'm making about it because we've been putting it all, trying to put it together.
What event are you talking about, Don?
That was a secret one, right? You and I didn't know about it.
So we were working on putting something together, and we've actually gotten the pieces together. So you know, Senator Mastriano has graciously he'll be speaking Friday night in Huntington Valley, which is a hop, skip, and a jump from the Buck Hotel where we're going to be having this event. So he has graciously agreed to come and speak on that Saturday morning on May 8th. And we're going to have
Is between 8 and 12.
Yes, between 8 and 12. And we're going to be having some other candidates there, local and statewide. So I think it's going to be a great thing. And I'm glad you're coming down. And we're going to try to put
Thank
as many
you.
People in front of you as we possibly can. And maybe by that time, we'll know what's going on.
Yes, we are
impatient. It sure would be nice to have clarity.
Yeah, we are impatiently waiting.
Yeah, and you know, if you happen to make the announcement at that event, that would be okay, too.
Oh, wouldn't that be amazing?
We need to know if we need to start gathering the troops or not, you know?
Yeah. The troops are waiting. They have been waiting for the commander. Right?
Exactly.
Give
command.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Senator. And we'll be speaking to you next week. Have a great Easter with your family.
Thank you, again,
keep fighting the fight, my friend.
Yeah. Happy Easter, Senator.
Thank you. God bless.
Everybody, make sure you follow him on Douglas Mastriano Fighting for Freedom and his Senator Mastriano page on Facebook.
Yeah, as he said last night, we got to get the numbers up on that page.
Yes.
All right,
thank
Senator,
you
thank you.
Love
now,
you, guys.
You take care.
Thank
bye-bye.
You too, bye.
All right, well.
So we are so thankful to have Aaron Bashir here with us, and we have Ron with us as well.
And Jackson.
And, well, I don't know who he is. So who is this other guest that we have with us? Jackson? Is that your... Jackson who?
You have to speak into the...
Jackson Massey.
All right. Nice to have you as well. So Aaron and Ron started a new pack called American Real Voice Pack. So, you know, of course, we want to know why you created this pack and why you chose that name.
Okay. Well, I think I would let Ronnie speak, and then I will take over.
Good afternoon, all the listeners and all of you. Thank you for calling us here today. We're really, you know, honored to be here. American Real Voice is a platform we started because we were tired of the politics, and especially the rhinos in our own party that we support. And we wanted to do something for our country. And this is the way that we thought that this would really help bring in good, conservative, God-fearing, country-loving politicians and leaders. And this was the idea behind this. Mm-hmm. And in our community, we're especially from Pakistan. And we haven't in America, this is the first time like we as Pakistani Christians have opened up a pack, and this was a big thing for us. So basically we just wanted to, you know, help build this country because we're Americans first.
Mm-hmm.
And we love America. So, you know, as a patriot, you know, I want to bring good, I want to support good leaders, mm-hmm. good conservative leaders, and through the pack, we can help them come and get public offices and help our country to build stronger and prosperous.
And where'd you come up with the name American Real Voice? Like, why that name?
Well, actually, we are all American, you know, mm-hmm. and as people might think, like, oh, they're back home, they're Pakistani, but no, when we came to this country, we worked hard, we built up our futures here. Everything that was given to us was first by God, and mm-hmm. then by this country, America, and that's why we love this country so much. And that was our name. I'm an American. That's how it came up, American Real Voice. And we wanted to be actually everybody's voice.
Mm-hmm.
That was the idea behind this. We wanted to be everybody's voice, everybody's platform, so everybody could talk or, you know, send their messages through us
mm-hmm.
to get good elected conservative people for this country.
Now, one of the things that we've had conversations about is the persecution that goes on in Pakistan for Pakistani Christians. So what you guys are doing by forming this pack is really what our ancestors did when they came to this country to escape religious persecution over in Europe. So that's why you guys can appreciate exactly what America stands for or is supposed to stand for and what it provides.
So, and I think it's really brave of you because there are so many people right now trying to change American values. And you guys came here for what our values are. And now here you are, and you see, you know, us being attacked, you know, trying to shift our values to, you know, and they're trying to separate us in so many struggles. But yet now here you are standing up for these values as, you know, people who weren't even born here. And here you are standing up for us. So it's
thank you, Ronnie.
So brave.
And thank you, Joanne. That's absolutely right. You know, we felt like there was a dire need to start something. Because we felt like that the good candidates were not being represented and they didn't have enough resources and they didn't have enough volunteers to help them in their campaigns. So when I ran my campaign in 2020, I felt like I was left alone. There was no help from, like, you know, Philly GOP the way I expected.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they helped me, but not to, like, that extent that what my expectations were. And I don't blame them, but this is what I felt. And I really wanted to thank Joanne, you, Don, you guys were always there on my right hand to help me in all those campaign activities. However, you know, this is who I am. I feel like, you know, whatever I do it for myself, I should also do it for others as well. Because it's not about, like, you know, just focusing on your own race, just focusing on what you can accomplish, what you can do. But our focus is to bring back this country to its foundational core values, mm-hmm. you know, upon this upon which this country was built up upon. So we believe that, you know, the real voice of American people need to be heard everywhere. And that was being ignored because they are not good candidates. They are like a lot of rhinos, even in our own Republican Party, mm-hmm. who switch their positions, you know, who go with the flow and the pressure, mm-hmm. and they forget about their core values. That's why we created this PAC, so we could stand our firm grounds. And I'm proud of one thing that, you know, I always stood in my campaign on my grounds, being, you know, pro-faith, pro-God, pro-life, mm-hmm. you know, pro-Second Amendment. I never abandoned those positions, and I'm proud of that. And this is what I'm proud about Senator as well, that he is not ashamed of his faith. He doesn't apologize mm-hmm. for his beliefs, that he believes in God. He is a strong Christian, and that's who we are. Like, you know, being persecuted in Pakistan, where we get tortured, our women get raped, our girls are being forcefully, you know, converted to Islam. You know, mm-hmm. we are proud that we never abandoned our faith even in that harsh environment. And mm-hmm. we will not abandon our faith here either. And we will not let the radical left, we will not let the liberals take over this country, because we have left Pakistan to be here to be called Americans. And this country is our dream country. This is mm-hmm. the land of opportunity. This is the land where we have all these freedoms, and we see that, you know, those freedoms are being taken away slowly and gradually and systematically mm-hmm. by the radical left, and we are sick and tired of that. And this is why we have started this PAC. So we will not help our own race, but we will help the good candidates to run their races. We'll help their campaigns. We'll provide them the volunteers. We'll help them with the funding, so we could have the good quality conservative candidates who could help this country, who could help our city, and who could bring back our country to the core values upon which this was built up upon and for what we stand for. Now, and that's what we need to focus
on. You speak of core values. So elaborate what those core values are.
Well, to me, the core values are hard work, okay? Honesty, integrity, and the passion, and the freedom of speech. You know, we have freedom of faith. And right now, we have all seen in the last 2 years, just we all respect that, you know, of course there is pandemic and we need to take all that important precautions. However, we also need to understand that the government never should be able to go to that extent where they can force you, where they can go against your individual rights, where they can take away your freedoms. For example, you know, right now we have this vaccination, process going on. And I'm saying we are all in for that. We don't have a problem. Anyhow, it should not be mandatory. It should not be compulsory. The government should not be forcing people to take it when they wanted to take a plane. It should be individual choice. This is what this country stands for. We have our freedoms, freedom of choice, freedom of religion, freedom of speech. And those are the core values which are under attack right now. And then one last thing I wanted to elaborate on is this country was founded by Christian, you know, people who were strong Christians. They loved God, they loved, you know, human decency and human integrity. And slowly and gradually, this country has been slipping, and it is now being controlled by the radical left, who are pushing for the abortions, who are challenging the traditional marriage, who are like confusing the children about gender and all the nonsense that you can think about it. And I'm proud, and I'm not ashamed to criticize them, because if they are harsh on our beliefs, I will also go after them. Mm-hmm. And I will stand for the families. I will stand for the traditional marriage. I will stand for God, faith, and freedom. That's what our PAC is also going to stand for.
So let me ask you a question, because I know all three of you are men of deep faith. You came from a country where you were not allowed to practice your faith, or it was frowned upon. And I'll say that in a very low-key way. I know it was way worse than just frowned upon. So now you come here that you want to practice your faith freely, and all of a sudden they turn around and say you can't go to church. The government says you can't go to church because of the pandemic. And they tell you you can't practice your faith. You can't sing. You can't pray out loud. How did that make you feel as Americans, as real live Americans? Jackson, what, you know?
I think that's really sad because, you know,
speaking to the mic.
I think that's really sad because when I came to this country, I mean, I came to this country because we had the freedom of speech and the freedom of wherever we want to pray and wherever, whatever we want to do. And now everything we see is changing. And that is, you know, that's something that not we didn't want or didn't expect. So, you know, that's why we made this pact, so that we could support these people who would stand up for all this tyranny that's going around by this especially the governor.
Yes. So you have this pact because you want to support certain types of people, you know, that support all our values. How are you going to vet out these people? How are you going to ensure that these people that the pact supports actually do uphold the same values that the pact is supposed to support?
Well, we will have definitely, you know, the formal process as, you know, what we'll be selecting our candidates. We'll have that interview process. We'll have those questionnaires that we'll hand out to the candidates. And, of course, we'll look at the record, you know, how the candidate, you know, has behaved in the past. And we'll have our own, like, candidate selection committee who will decide, who will, you know, do the arguments back and forth, and mm-hmm. the debates we'll have in our own internal selection and election committee to finally figure out, you know, who is the best candidate that we should be supporting. Mm-hmm. And of course, one thing I wanted to be clear about, because I know a lot of people are listening out there, this is what I tell my team, and this is what I tell everybody. Look, if you're looking for a perfect person, I'm not that perfect person, okay? But I am
neither
dedicated
am I.
And mm-hmm. committed to my vision and the cause and the things that I believe should be done. Mm-hmm. So in the same way, I'm also, you know, making it very clear. Of course, there are not going to be always like 100%, you know, perfect candidates, because then we'll have to call upon angels to come down on the earth. So, but of course, you know, people that we believe that who are honest people, who will stand their grounds, who will support the core values, will always stand behind them. And the best news is, Ronnie can tell more about the progress of our pack, that, you know, there are so many people who are, excuse me, joining our pack like crazy. You know, it's like every day somebody's texting me, somebody's sending me a message, hey, we wanted to become the part of your pack, you know, let us know what we can do for you. And we just wanted to, you know, first of all, thank them, and, you know, hey, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. All the executive team members, all the PR directors, and, you know, our IT director, and, like, there's so many people on our board. So we have almost, like, 30-plus people already have in our executive team.
And right. What I love about your board is it's, if you go look at it on their website, arvoice.org, you will see that it's a very diverse board. You know, you have a great variety of people, of diversity of all ways, you know, not just by race, not just by, I should say they all have the same types of values, but they also have different career backgrounds. So it's a very great variety of people.
Well, one of the things I wanted to comment on, what Aaron just said, sometimes people on the conservative side of the aisle get caught up in what I call a purity test. And as Aaron just said, nobody is 100% of what Aaron might think or what I might think, because what I might think is perfect, Aaron might say, I'm not crazy about that. So I'm going to tell this quick little story that Senator Mastriano tells, because we actually had somebody call up and criticize Senator Mastriano for trying to pass the heartbeat bill, which says that a baby is recognized as being alive 18 days into the womb, because that's when you can first hear a heartbeat. And this gentleman criticized him as not being pro-life because he wasn't fighting for life at the moment of conception. So there's a difference between what we really believe and what is politically possible to happen. Senator Mastriano believes that life begins at conception, as I do, and I know you guys do. But so he explained to this gentleman, back in 1984, there was a in the House and the Senate of the United States, they were going to pass legislation. The Democrats and the Republicans had come to an agreement, believe this or not, that was going to extremely restrict the access to abortion. But the purists on our side of the aisle said, it's all or nothing. If you can't say life begins at conception, then we're not going to vote for this bill. Since that time, 63 million unborn children have been murdered. If that bill would have passed, which it would have, 55 to 56 million of those children would be alive today. So, and we have to understand that this is what the Democrats do. They do what I call a death of a thousand cuts. They'll tell you, well, we're not going to attack your, we're not going to take your First Amendment rights away, but we're going, or your Second Amendment rights, but we're going to limit the size of the magazine because nobody needs to have a 20-shot magazine. Well, then somebody's going to kill somebody with the 20-shot magazine. They're going to say, oh, we need to knock that down to 15. You took 20. Why can't you take 15? So it's the same thing with us. Let's get, if we can get the heartbeat bill through in Pennsylvania, and then we'll work on getting the rest of it. Because the lives that can be saved by what we can get is better than getting nothing. And that's what Senator Mastriano was trying to explain to this gentleman, that back in 1984, Ronald Reagan had brilliantly masterminded this compromise in Congress. And they were going to go for it. It was all set. So, and this is what I believe is important, that what you just said.
I just wanted to add to the question that Joanne asked me in the first question that she asked me. We started planning ARV like December 2020. And you know why? I think the listeners are listening. They should know that why. How did we come up last December with this plan? Because what happened in November 2020, as long as I've been here, nobody has seen, and American people were really pissed off and really mad what happened in the elections. And sitting at home getting pissed off wouldn't help. You know, changing the country, helping, getting it better. Mm-hmm. So this is also a core reason that we came up with this pack, so we can step up and help our country go to its better path.
So. Yeah.
And the issue is, quite honestly, we have to start realizing we don't want to have a two-front war. We don't want to fight with the Democrats and our own party. But at the same time, if our party no longer represents the values that it's supposed to represent, then people have to step up, because America is built on we the people. It's not we the party or we the senator or we the president, or it's we the people. And the people are the ones that hold the control, and they just need to step up. We've become, for lack of a better word, lazy as an electorate.
Thank you so much for bringing up that very important point. Don, this is what I have felt like. You know, before we are Republicans or Democrats, anything, we are Americans first. And what we are standing for, we are not standing for, you know, first of all, we are not standing against any party. What we are standing against is that ideology that will destroy this country. Mm-hmm. So what we are standing for is the good candidates. It doesn't matter where you belong, as long as you are pro-life, you're pro Second Amendment, you know, you're pro faith, pro God, you love this country dearly, and you're not going to start sending all this money to all those other third world countries who hate us and who wanted to destroy us. And if you are going to think about American people first, then you're at the right spot. And this is what we believe, that, you know, American Real Voice is going to do, help the great candidates who are going to speak up for the American people, because I believe American people are left out because their real voice is not being heard by the politicians. Their real voice is not being heard by the party sometimes. And we are not ever going to go against the party. We are there to help the party.
Right.
Because the resources sometimes that the party doesn't have, we also wanted to create a mutual, a parallel entity that can help the party. For example, if a party can do only one day of action, we can help creating two more day of actions with our own volunteers, with our own funding. But we want the good candidates to win, because if the good candidates, who are quality candidates, who are honest, who are God-fearing, God-loving candidates, do not win in this country, slowly and gradually and systematically, this country will be destroyed.
Well, the problem is that sometimes some of these committees have started choosing candidates based on whether they considered electable, or do they have the right last name, or are they the right gender, which is all everything that the Democrats do. The Democrats pick use identity politics, and we were always above that. And now we have become so worried about winning that we no longer stand for anything. And so when you stand for – if you try to stand for everything, you stand for nothing. So I believe that we have let the Democrats basically dictate our positions.
Yes.
And we have to now start standing up, and this is part of what the PAC is going to do, yeah. is you are going to reiterate and reinforce what conservative values and belief are. It's one of the reasons Joanne came up with the idea that we're going through the Constitution, and we've kind of halted that a little bit for the election season at this point. But the real point is that we want to start bringing people to understand what America and values and beliefs, conservative American values and beliefs, actually stand for, yes, not what the Democrats tell you.
And absolutely right. And, yeah. and one of the most important thing we also going to do is we are going to start reaching the untapped immigrant communities, because a lot of immigrant communities, they are conservative by heart. Mm-hmm. And they have bought into this perception that somehow Democratic Party represents them and the Republican Party doesn't represent them, and that's against them. So we are going to start changing that perception, and we already have, like, you know, been communicating with a lot of communities, and mm-hmm. I think we'll have a very successful organization, and our movement is, like, you know, excelling, progressing, and it's going very good, actually. Every single day we are picking up that speed and pace.
Yeah, and the Democrats are steering the narrative right now. You know, they have control over the media, and that's on social websites. They're controlling, you know, what people are largely thinking. And, you know, I think this PAC is really important, you know, to get more people out there and get more resources out there to share conservative values. But we need to find a way to steer the narrative. We need to take that control somehow, you know. And, you know, I think this is a really great start, you know, to be able to do that in our local area.
And Joanne, just like Aaron said, our team members share the same view, vision that we do. Mm-hmm. And that's why, remember you said that we have a diverse team.
Mm-hmm.
And that this is not like about Pakistani, Indian, or any yep. other nationality. Mm-hmm. It's about American. We're exactly. Americans first.
Yes.
So these are all great patriot Americans in our team. They love our country. And that's why they're supporting us to build this country back.
Yes.
So I wanted to ask Jackson, so your title is Executive Director of Operations. So what are you doing to help the PAC move forward?
All right, well, I'm going to speak up for Jackson right now. So as we said, you know, we are in our various phases of team formation. So Jackson will be controlling various aspects of our organizations. He'll be making sure that all the operations are being run smoothly, and all the teams that they're supposed to do are going to do their work. For example, as you said, we have PR directors, we have PR executive directors. Then we soon are establishing our, like, you know, candidate selection committee. So he's just going to monitor everybody, making sure that, you know, they are doing their job. That's all what he's going to keep getting focused on.
He's basically the head of operations. He'll be looking. he'll be looking after all the PR directors. I mean, he's gonna look after everybody. They're gonna be reporting to him, and I guess he'll be reporting to us. So we're trying to be more organized. So basically, yeah, that's what he's gonna do. He's gonna look after all the team members, see everything's running fine, so we can run smoothly.
Yes, and you know, Aaron, you wrote a letter on your website about the PAC and your vision for the area. And I love that you wrote, "I strive to make lives of all of the Philadelphia and Pennsylvania residents safer and secure by providing full support and cooperation to neighborhood residents, community leaders, faith-based institutional leaders, small business owners, and great police officers to preserve the quality of life for all of us, where we can be where we can live a happy life and raise our families in a safer environment." And it goes on and on. But, you know, you constantly focus on all Americans and on all people in the community. And I think that's really important. And, you know, you mentioned even in this letter about unity. You know, how can we get there? Like, what what I know you have ideas in your head of what we can do to create more unity and a more cohesive community, you know, and you know, communities. So what are your ideas?
Thank you, Joanne, for asking that wonderful question. This is what I keep telling my team, and this is what I keep telling my friends always. You know, listen, it's okay to disagree. And even sometimes Don and I agree on and disagree on a lot of things. But it doesn't matter. We are not friends anymore. We are still friends and we'll always be friends. So what my, you know, foundational idea of this organization was that, you know, somehow we need to have a united force. We need to have an entity, an organization that could pull together the resources that we need to win more and more races. Because right now, this is what the problem was. For example, when I ran in 2020, we didn't have any funds till like August or September. We didn't have any volunteers. So just in the last 3 months, we worked hard once we found out that, you know, how much we can expect from Philly GOP. After that, we like put our whole heart into our campaign. And just in short time frame of 3 months, of course, by, you know, the grace of the Lord and Don and Joanne, all of your help and good team members that I had, we raised like around $45,000. We had like so many, like, you know, volunteers who are doing different things. And we ran one of the most successful campaigns in Philadelphia, I would say, because I got like most of the turnover of the voters, like, you know, in my, like, you know, favor. Like I got like highest votes ever any Republicans got in that district. So this is what I felt like, you know, if even in just 3 months, once we join our forces, we can do so much. Of course, we can win this district and we can win so many other districts. It's just like, you know, when somebody's running, he or she needs a lot of support. And when there is somebody there, an infrastructure, an organization to help that candidate, because a lot of times this is what I felt like, you know, as a candidate, you are thrown into this water. You don't know how to swim and you're learning how to swim. And you make a lot of mistakes. Sometimes you drown and sometimes you come up. But again, if there is somebody who could teach you all that stuff, it will be much easier for you to learn how to swim and how to go to the next side of the, you know, pool or whatever.
I think that's really important because there are so many people who have great qualities and motivations and they want to run for office and they would be very good in certain positions. However, running a campaign is a whole nother story and a whole nother experience. You know, so if we could get really great people who have the heart condition to do amazing things, you know, in Senate, in local council races and school boards, you know, but they have no idea how to run a campaign or how to, you know, don't know how to raise funds. This PAC is wonderful. I think, you know, it will be a great asset for people who, you know, are right for the positions.
And again, we all talk, so we kind of know a lot of stuff that's going on. So one of the things that I'm glad Joanne just brought that up, because one of the things that Calvin Tucker and I are working on is the formation of a what we call a candidate training school. So that a candidate, if somebody is a good person and they want to run, and a lot of people I don't think run because there is no support system, as Aaron said. So that's why when these groups are formed, it's good that they're going to provide this support system. But as Aaron found out, just getting on the ballot is just the beginning of the journey.
Yes.
You know, and as he said, jumping into the pool.
And that's a journey in itself.
Right. Just but, you know, just you know, basically what happens with a candidate, for those of you who don't know, is they just decide to run. And basically what they're, it's like your dad when you're a baby. He throws you into the pool and hopefully you come back up, you know. And so the point I'm trying to make is that what Aaron and his team are trying to do with this PAC, and there are other organizations that are in the formation stage as well in the five counties of Philadelphia, is that these organizations are going to be able to provide this candidate support system.
Absolutely right.
And that's what they need. They need to know how to do a financial report. They need to know about advertising, fundraising, how many words to put on a sign, you know.
We had
as Joanne always says to me, less is more, you know. And, yeah. And this is her area of expertise, so I always defer to her on that. But the point is that when we have enough people that know certain things, there are things that I know that, for example, Joanne may not know, and there's things that I know, there's things Joanne knows that I don't know anything about. So if we get enough good people together to help good candidates get elected, we can do great things in Southeast Pennsylvania and beyond.
Absolutely right. You're absolutely right. You know, I believe that, you know, whenever you wanted to win a war, you got to win it first in your own mind. And this is what I felt that, you know, when I'm looking at the Republican Party here in Philadelphia, when I see all the negativity, when I see all that, like, you know, kind of strange victim mentality that, you know, we are never going to win here or there, I cannot take that, you know. I'm not a negative person. I'm saying, hey, we can win. We just have to, you know, figure out a way where we can join our forces together, where we could have a strong team with all the resources. That means we have volunteers, we have, like, you know, we have enough funding. And I actually wanted to appeal to my listeners and, you know, viewers as well at this point that, you know, please help us, you know. And you can always go to arvoice.org and, you know, have the contribution sent to us so we could support the good candidates. Because by supporting the good candidates, we are going to support our country. We are going to keep our country on the right track. And we are going to secure the future of our next generations.
Now, when people contribute money to PACs and organizations, they like to know where the money's going. So can you explain to us exactly, or, you know, at least some ideas? I know it's a new PAC. Where you foresee the money being sent?
Well, Joanne, PACs have rules. So basically we are spending it on candidates, mm-hmm. do their campaigns. And I think some expenditures are allowed in the PAC, but they have like rules. Mm-hmm. So basically they're really strict. We have to report to the state every 3 months. There's a cycle that we have to report. So they have a track of all the record, all the money, all the records and everything. So it's basically they know where we're spending, how much do we get, and like I would say the most important part of the money is going towards the candidates, supporting them with their campaigns and winning the election.
And the thing that people need to understand with a PAC is a PAC cannot have any direct contact with a candidate. I want people to be clear with that. So when the PAC would vet a candidate, that's just so they know that if they're going to spend money to support that candidate in their own, however they decide they want to do it, they're supporting the correct candidate. With a PAC, a candidate cannot come to a PAC and say, hey, I want you to run this ad for me. That's not how it works. You know, because there can be no direct communication between a candidate and a PAC. I just want to make that clear to the listeners so nobody starts turning you guys into the state or something like that, you know. So,
well, I wanted to go back to Joanne's question. Just wanted to elaborate on that. As an accountant, you know, this is what I believe that, you know, the integrity of data, the transparency of the data is very, very important. And reporting of the correct numbers is very important. So we'll always, you know, have our finance reporting done in a way that we're, it's public information. People could always get it. And, of course, it will be uploaded on our website as well so people could see, you know, how much contributions are coming in and where they are going exactly. But, again, you know, there is a dire need that, you know, a lot of candidates, the good candidates who are out there, and even I'm talking to, like, you know, journalists, anybody, if you feel like you have a burden in your heart, if you feel like that your country needs you, you need to, you know, take your voice and you need to take your friend's voice to the government. You see that something is not happening right and you want to take a position, we are there to help you. Just contact us and we will help you, we'll support you, because we want you to run, we want you to stand for your country, because this is the time that you need to do that.
Are there any candidates that you're looking at now for any upcoming races?
Well, at this point, we are not going to, you know, make any, like, decisions. As I said, you know, we'll have a process. We'll have our selection candidate committee where we'll, you know, have our final decisions made. But at this point, we are not going to do any endorsements, especially not in this primary, because we are going to wait and hold on. We'll figure out, where we are going slowly and gradually. And I think, Ron, you all wants to add something onto it?
I just want to add, we just started, so we need time to settle.
and you know, it's funny that you guys brought this up, because in discussions I've had with other groups, it's always the same. Everybody is so anxious, because we all see the importance of what we need to do and what is happening to our country. But as I try to tell people, if we want to be successful, we have to build a strong foundation. And upon that foundation, we build the house. And so being slow, meticulous, and focused does not mean we're not doing something. It's just meaning, for lack of a better word, we're getting all ducks in a row.
Yeah, and there's always work that's being done behind the scenes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to add one more thing so my listeners and viewers know who really I am, because I know a lot of friends, they do, but people who do not know what kind of person I am. I was the first one who ever got my bachelor degree in my family. I was the first one who got my master's. Mm-hmm. So I'm the first one who's doing my PhD. And I'm not just trying to brag about it, but I'm just trying to tell people.
You can brag, it's fine. You can brag, it's fine.
when I do something, I do with my full heart. And I believe that there are things that we need to do. I'm not going to sit down and complain about it. I'm going to do something.
Right.
And where I come from, I was discouraged there as well. As a Christian, you cannot do this and that. But even I broke down those barriers. And this is what I'm telling my, good friends here as well. When you let the negativity take over you, you cannot achieve anything in life. But when you trust in God and you say, hey, by the grace of the God, by the grace of the good Lord, I can do it, you can really do it.
Well,
that's what we are.
And the funny thing is, and I tell this to people, Aaron and I have had this discussion before. When I enter into something, and I played sports all my life, I always thought I was going to win. But even if I lost, I won because I tried.
Yes.
And I learned from those mistakes, and I kept going forward. And I took that same mentality into business for 30-something years, and now I'm taking that same mentality into this arena. That, Aaron, we ran a great campaign.
Of course.
But you lost.
Yeah.
But we won.
Of course.
Because we got our message out there.
Of course.
And the next time you run again in 2022,
yep,
we're gonna win this time.
Absolutely.
Because I never do anything to lose.
Yeah, done. And I think it's not about that you won and you became a public servant and you became a state representative. It's not about in that sense. What I am proud of that we have won, that we have communicated a strong message that we are pro-life, we are pro-family, we are pro-police, we are pro-Second Amendment, and we are pro-country. And that's what I'm proud of, that we never, ever left those messages.
You never compromised your beliefs and your values.
Absolutely.
And nobody on your team ever did.
And we will never.
You continue to support the police.
Yes.
You never shied away from being a supporter of President Trump.
Absolutely.
Where they told you in Philadelphia that was death.
Yes.
Okay. And you succeeded. You got the most votes any Republican ever got in your district.
Absolutely right. And I'm proud of that. And I wanted to thank all of you for supporting me, Don, you, Joanne, you and your team. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, and please share where people can find your PAC on Facebook and online.
Absolutely. They can just Google American Real Voice, or they can go to arvoice.org and they can join our team. They can become the donor. They can become the volunteer. But again, this PAC is going to represent the real voice of American people, because we believe it needs to be heard.
Well, thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Ronnie. Thank you, Jackson, for being here.
Thank you, Don. Thank you, Joanne. This was my first time. Did my best.
Well, have a good Easter, everybody.
Yeah, happy Easter,
and
everyone.
And we'll talk to everybody next week.
Happy Easter, everyone.
Thank you. Take care now. Bye-bye.